Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us. That we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. According to St. Augustine, a church father, and probably the single most significant Christian theologian outside of biblical writers themselves, according to him, one who denies the doctrine of the Trinity is in danger of losing their salvation. But one who tries to understand the doctrine of the Trinity is in danger of losing their mind. Today is Trinity Sunday, a day set aside specifically to ponder together the reality that God exists as the Trinity. This is who God is. This is who God reveals himself to be. So even though we cannot and do not fully grasp his essence, we acknowledge and worship him as he reveals himself as the Trinity, one God in three persons. The Bible teaches this about God. Even though the word is not used, it teaches this concept about God. So a few passages, the three passages that were read today, very briefly. Exodus chapter 3, God speaks from the burning bush, and rather surprisingly, in the same passage, it alternates between God speaking and the angel of the Lord appearing and speaking, as if they're both distinct and yet both fully God. Romans chapter 8, read today, is about what God the Holy Spirit does in us as Christians, makes us heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus, God the Son, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit active together. John chapter 3 connects the will of God the Father with the work of Jesus, God the Son, on the cross, and the Holy Spirit bringing about in us new birth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all God himself, and yet are somehow distinct. So, through faithful reading of passages like these and others, some of which are much more explicit, the church puts into words what we know as the doctrine of the Trinity, that God exists as one God in three persons, not three parts, not three separate beings, but one God in three persons, one undivided divine essence. And yet there are three within that unity. And we use the word persons because, well, that's the best we've got. One God in three persons, not three gods, not one God with three different masks he puts on, not one God with three different parts, one God in three persons. And each of the three persons is fully and equally God himself. So this morning on Trinity Sunday, we're going to look a little bit more about what it means that God is the Trinity. And then I want to give you one, focus in on one. There are many more, but I want to focus in on one reason why his existence as the Trinity matters. Why it is absolutely essential, especially in our world today. This is not some obscure concept that really only matters to ivory tower theologians. This is absolutely essential for all of us. So, the Trinity. As I've already said, God is one God in three persons. That's language that every one of us should just know by heart. God is one God in three persons. And you will sing those words in the closing hymn today. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And we need to acknowledge that we come to the task of trying to understand this reality about God. We have to come to it with humility. We will not and cannot fully grasp God's essence. But we do know some things about him that he has revealed to us. And because he has revealed them, because we believe him. So while we cannot completely make sense of this, and it requires humility on our part, we know it's true because God has revealed it to us in his scriptures. We've already mentioned a couple of the parts of the Bible read today and how they relate to God's existence as the Trinity, but there are others. Very briefly, for example, John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just a few verses later in that chapter, it's made explicit that the Word being talked about, the Word is Jesus. Jesus was with God the Father in the beginning, and Jesus was himself God. He is somehow distinct from God the Father, and yet he is God himself and is properly worshipped as God. In Acts chapter 5, someone is said to be lying to the Holy Spirit, which is then said in that passage to be lying to God himself. So we have parts of the Bible that show that Jesus is God. We have parts that show the Holy Spirit is God. We have parts that call God Father as distinct from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we have clear teaching throughout the Bible that there is emphatically only one true God. And so the church's language of one God in three persons is the best way that we have of succinctly stating this reality about God. God in his essence is one. And yet there's a diversity, there's a threeness in that unity. All right, so you just sort of have to sort of imagine this. God is not physical. God doesn't have a physical body. Of course, Jesus took on a body when he became incarnate, but God doesn't have a physical body. He's not made up of physical stuff. But if you think of it this way, whatever God is made of, whatever that is, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all fully and completely that. Whatever substance God is, all three members of the Trinity are fully and completely, without division, fully and completely that divine essence. In the Creed, which we will say in a few minutes, we will say of Jesus that he is of one being with the Father, of one essence. Some other older translations say of one substance. God isn't physical, but whatever he's sort of, if you will, made of, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all equally and fully that. And yet, they are distinct. The Father is not the Son and is not the Holy Spirit. They are distinct and they are personal. That's why we call them persons. Jesus can pray to the Father. The Father can send the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. There is absolutely nothing else like this in the universe. So any analogy we come up with falls short because nothing else is like God in this way. So we cannot fully grasp it. But this is who God reveals himself to be in the Bible. And so while we cannot fully explain it satisfactorily, we accept it as the truth of God's nature because he has revealed it to us. One God in three persons. So why does all of that matter? Well, not everyone thinks it does. Let me give you an example. The Enlightenment thinker Immanuel Kant did not think highly of the doctrine of the Trinity, and he wrote this. The doctrine of the Trinity provides nothing, absolutely nothing, of practical value, even if one claims to understand it. Still less when one is convinced, like I am, that it far surpasses their understanding. It costs the student nothing to accept that we adore 3 or 10 persons of the divinity. Furthermore, this distinction offers absolutely no guidance for our conduct. I disagree. It matters a great deal, and it is very significant in guiding us as Christians. Beyond the fact that this is just who God is, and we can't know God if we don't understand him as he is. But beyond that, this doctrine of the Trinity matters because it is essential to basically all other Christian beliefs. It's the thread that runs through all Christian beliefs and doctrines. And if you pull that thread, everything starts to unravel. So, for example, take away the Trinity, and Jesus' death on the cross becomes irrelevant and actually becomes an unjust action by God. Christmas becomes meaningless because it wouldn't be God becoming incarnate. Take away God's nature as the Trinity, and everything of importance comes apart at the seams. The gospel, the good news of God's work in the world, comes apart, falls apart, unravels if we remove the doctrine of the Trinity. So as one writer put it, to know the Trinity is to know the gospel. And without the Trinity, there would be no Christianity. This is essential. So while there are many examples that we could use, I want to give you just one example as to why God's nature as the Trinity matters immensely in our world today. Love. Because God is the Trinity, the perfect union and love between the members of the Trinity exists before his power was ever enacted. Before God did anything, he exists before his power was enacted. His perfect love existed in himself among members of the Trinity. Love comes before power. Love is more essential to God's character than his acts of power. Love is more fundamental to reality than power. This is why you can tell when leaders use power without love, you can tell that it's wrong. That's why in your heart you know that power enacted without love goes wrong. Can we agree that we need some more love in the world today? This has been a hard time, and when things get this hard, it doesn't usually bring out the most loving responses from us. But we've been through a lot together. Divisive politics and elections, a global pandemic with radically opposed views on how to handle it. We've been through violence with the police. Now, of course, the overwhelming majority of our police are excellent and should be supported, but I also acknowledge the personal experience that people of color have shared with me, how they have so painfully verbalized how very different their experience has been from my own. Riots, what's being called cancel culture, which is honestly a term that's just too gentle. When someone doesn't completely toe the line of a particular political or social group, they get completely ostracized and become unhirable. I'll give you one recent example of that that hit home for me. Recently in England, an Anglican priest who's the chaplain at a high school was, I kid you not, reported by leadership in the school to the government's official terrorist watch group because of a sermon that he preached in the high school that the leaders of the school did not like. This school was beginning to teach a particular social position on gender ideologies, and the sermon encouraged that as Christians, we must show respect even when we disagree. He encouraged the students that they would not be forced to accept an ideology they disagreed with, but should always show respect for one another, no matter what. And for that, the school leader reported him to the government as a potential terrorist, because he did not wholeheartedly accept and agree with what the school taught. Can we agree that we need some love in this world? But at his core, God is holy, he is perfect, he is pure, and he is totally other from everything else in the universe. And because in his being he is this holy Trinity, one God in three persons, that perfect love has always existed between the three persons of the Trinity. If God were simply a unity and not also three persons, then he wouldn't have had anyone to love until he had created someone that he could then love. And in that case, power would have come first. Power would be more fundamental to his being. But as the Trinity, he is the source of love itself, and that love is more important and more foundational than power. So in our hearts, when we can tell that power should not be the most important thing, we're actually sensing in our hearts the reality, the truth, that love is more foundational to God's world. And the reason for that is the fact that God has been and always has been the Trinity. So there are many examples that we could use as to why the Trinity matters, and one of them is the foundational importance of love in the world that God has made. And we do not and cannot fully understand God's essence, but we trust and believe that what he tells us and how he reveals himself to us is true. He is one God. And he is three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And because he is the Trinity, with perfect communion and love between the persons, we experience a world in which love is more important and more foundational than power. Because, as the Bible says, God is love. So we believe in him, and we worship him as he is. One God in three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Amen.